Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I know this place off Burnett Road, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. France are the Nations League champions and Scotland got a huge win. It's Monday, 11th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
Luke.
And Pete.
Messrs. Moore and Donaldson, of course, to do the full register.
Admittedly, I didn't think about the fact there might be another Luke knocking about who is maybe better and would want to have my contribution besmirching his good broadcasting reputation.
Have they found Lord Lucan?
Maybe they have. Marcus, you must feel like it's a bit Boxing Day today for you, right?
Why is that?
Christmas Day yesterday, Nations League final. Yeah. Big stuff. How does a man who's so passionate about a competition deal with the come down the day after?
Well, because we've still got international football.
That is true.
I'm off to Wembley tomorrow night.
Are you really?
Oh, big time.
Is there a game?
I hope so. It's never stopped me before.
Not another tour, is it? Well, is again.
I've seen people celebrating outside St James's, so I'll go to my place and have a bit of a dance around as well. Yeah. That's what I do, everybody.
Great stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you're right, Luke Moore. It was the Nations League final, of course. Pete Donaldson, what about those French boys, eh?
They were very good.
Taking advantage of those dodgy VAR offside rules.
Very good on the counter.
Do you want to be painted like one of those French boys?
I don't know what a French boy looks like. Timothy Chalamet, is he French?
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of talk about that.
It was a lovely Titanic reference.
It was. 25 years old almost.
Is it really?
There's a lot of talk.
Titanic?
There's been a lot of talk of Timothy Chalamet.
Right.
And becoming, he's a new Willy Wonka, of course.
Oh, is right. He now? Yeah. I missed this news.
Why do we need a new
people
one?
People are complaining that they've sexified Willy Wonka.
Made Wonka sexy.
He's quite a sexy man, captain of industry, cool, tight purple clothes.
Would you cast yourself as
he's
the
prince, basically.
Are you the tiny? Are you the Timothy Chalamet of the Ramble?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, if one of us could play Wonka, it would be Peter.
He's got
the clothes.
He's been playing that role his whole life.
I've been cosplaying as him for ages.
Do we need another
chocolate to children?
Did you just say?
I said giving chocolate to children.
You never give chocolate to me.
No, he doesn't.
I'd be very willing to accept.
Dog chocolate to you.
Anything. Yeah. I'm not. I don't discriminate.
Anyway, it was a good game.
Oh, yeah, that's
sorry,
right.
Peter,
yeah. But France are the Nations League champions for the first time ever. Which means Didier Deschamps has won every tournament going, I think.
Mm.
He's a fantastic record of player and manager. What a time he's having of it. But it was an interesting, because the Nations League, I mean, all I'll say is, ladies and gentlemen, even Andy Brassel's well on board with the Nations League. That's how good it is.
Mm. Right.
Because I think people sort of forgot about this tournament. And after the highs and lows of the Euros, you come off the back of it and you go, oh my goodness. It's like Boxing Day. And a presence arrived late. That's what's happened. Or you forgot to unwrap one. Or there's another one behind the tree. And you go, oh, hang on about. And that's a sizable one.
Is, hang on about.
Is it a present you wanted, though?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Would you want the present to have some kind of involvement for your Football Team England, though?
Yeah. But I've known for a while. I've known for a while that they've not made it.
I don't know about you people. I'm thinking, how long can we draw out this metaphor?
Yeah. I know, right?
So which one, what point do you have the Nations League dinner? what meat do you carve?
It's all the leftovers, yeah. But it's still good. It's still good, everybody. But it's been an enjoyable tournament, and
it has been. And the good thing is that you get some genuinely competitive. So take the semi-finals, for instance.
Yes,
you get some genuinely competitive games between, certainly four mm-hmm. of the top nations in Europe, which is a pretty cool thing.
Well, it was. I think as well, though, it's quite an interesting tournament because you saw the scenes of celebration after the full-time whistle. And they're obviously very happy, but it's not the Euros or the World Cup.
Mm.
So I wonder if teams are maybe more willing to play a bit more attacking, just kind of go for it a bit.
I get that impression as well.
If they lose, it's obviously you want to win.
It's mild peril, isn't it, really?
Mild peril is the way.
Losing the World Cup.
It's the UEFA Nations League, mild peril.
It's like a PG World Cup.
It's a PG World Cup, that's what it is, yeah.
What rating are you putting the World Cup?
18.
Depends, doesn't it?
Luis Suarez is involved, 18.
But they play with a lot of freedom. I mean, the Benzema goal is obviously going to take a lot of the bullets. If he'd hit that any harder, it would not have gone anywhere near the goal.
Perfect.
It was perfect in every way.
Do you think Benzema's like still quite disrespected as a player on the world stage?
Maybe. I think he's doing his damnedest to get more respect.
Himself.
But it is incredible because he is, 33 now, something like that. He's no spring chicken. Mm. Having done Ronaldo's doggies for so long, you'd think he might be quite tired, but it's like they've uncovered this player who's still in his sort of mid to late 20s, and he's putting in the performances. He's been the difference for them at times.
He's looking like he's probably going to score more goals for Real Madrid than Alfredo Di Stefano.
Yeah, I mean, he's
about 15 off it or something.
He's a phenomenal footballer, there's no doubt about that. But this game, though, I mean, Spain dominated. It was quite...
in the first half.
Well, the funny thing was, after they scored, I messaged you all saying, this is quite odd to see France getting schooled or bossed around like this. And then you just replied to Benzema, block capitals.
Yeah. but that goal that Benzema... Because Spain clearly... I mean, there are many, many millions of clichés in the game of football, and you've probably heard all of them on this show at some point. But teams do tend to be vulnerable after they just scored.
Yeah.
And that goal that Spain got, it was quite a direct goal. Mm-hmm. And I think I couldn't really see, based on the replay of the goal, how France were going to come back for it. And the reason I say that is because the amount of space Busquets was given in the middle of the park, freedom of the park.
Yeah.
None of the three midfielders for France who were on the pitch at the time, I think it was three of them at the time, came anywhere near him. And he was able just to pick out a pass. I know Busquets is not at the level he once was, but he's still very, very capable.
Of course.
And he plays that inch-perfect ball when Oyarzabal scores. And you think, okay, that's probably what their dominance of the ball kind of really earned them for them. And then France do that straight up to the rim with Benzema, but he kind of pulls that goal from nothing. Mm. Like he's almost personally offended by it and scores. And all of a sudden it's game on again. It was a fascinating game for that reason because the second half it really exploded into the life, but it's not that the first half was particularly bad, I didn't think. I enjoyed it.
No, it was good. And it was a typical, what we've come to know from Spain's sides is that they keep the ball very, very well. And the difference was, if you remember in the Euros, the group
couldn't
stages
put the ball in the net.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was all that business with Morata and penalties being missed and so on. And then Luis Enrique said, no, we will come alive. Trust me on this. And then the last group game, they scored a few. And then obviously against Croatia, penalties against Switzerland, and would have been disappointed in the semi-final against Italy. But they've kept that going because they were brilliant against Italy in the semi-final of this competition. And when they scored, it was like, we've got them. We've finally got the breakthrough. Keep doing what you're doing. And then you wonder if it'd have got, you know, if Benzema doesn't score that goal straight away, it just completely changed the dynamic.
You are the dean of international football broadcasters, Marcus, in the podcasting world. Did what Spain did over Italy in the semi-final of the Nations League, is that revenge? Does that constitute revenge, or is it not a big enough competition to be revenge?
Yeah, I know what you mean. There will be a sweet taste in the mouth.
Sweet taste in the mouth.
Yes. Very small dish.
I think
served cold.
Maybe, yeah.
An entree served cold.
Not served that cold, really. Yeah.
It's gazpacho.
I did think about it. It's funny with international football because we can remember the world very much in analog, you know,
right.
And we can remember it before the Euros were seen as they were. It was really Euro 96 where the Euros became a bit more prestigious, I would suggest, certainly in this country, and the tournament expanded and blah, blah, blah. And it just seemed, maybe this is just because you were younger, right? You didn't have the perspective of being a bit older. It always seemed that there was like hardly any matches between, like international football happened so few and far between.
Yeah,
and
maybe
it's because of the friendlies, it was a load of nonsense a lot of the time. And so the idea of revenge, you'd have to wait years and years and years to play that team again and so on and so forth. Whereas now I think people move on quicker from tournaments. You know, there's no talk about Bukayo Saka's penalty miss anymore. Do you know what I mean? Whereas how long did people go on?
It would go on for years,
it
right?
It would go on for years and years and years. And I'm already talking about England. Sorry, France. We'll get back to that in a sec. But it was, you know, the fetishization of World Cup 90 and Euro 96, it kind of, it felt that these things happened and it was there and it stuck around. Whereas one of the great successes of Southgate's era is kind of like, that tournament's done, we've done well, like move on, bump, next one. And that's what I'm sure people like France do. They won the World Cup, bit of a disaster by their standards in the Euros. Right, well, Nations League, next one, off we go.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely the case with when you're facing a country in the same organisation as you. So UEFA, for example, England will play UEFA teams a lot more often now because of the reason you said. But it is also quite exotic and quite interesting how few times, for example, England have played teams outside of their organisation. Like, I think I was just looking here, England have only ever played Peru three times in history. They've only ever played Saudi Arabia twice. They've only ever played, you know, South Africa twice. They've only ever played South Korea once. You know, so that does still happen, but just not within the continent that in which you reside.
Yeah, absolutely right. So, yes, Benzema obviously equalised, talk about that. And then came the real talking point of the game, which was Kylian Mbappe's winner when he was clearly offside. But because Eric Garcia was, and you have to look at Garcia, there's a defender who's aware, one of the quickest and best players in world football's behind him. What is he doing trying to intercept the ball? Because if he lets that go, it's offside, everybody.
That's
the rules.
Isn't it? Like, you're making him almost referee the game, isn't he?
You're sort of going,
if I go for that and I touch it, that's going to reset the offside play. And I mean, all right, I thought it was quite clever from the referee to apply that weird rule, because I wouldn't be able to do it. I was like, what's this again? I've forgotten.
Yeah.
Was it even onside?
But that's not the standard we should be applying to international final.
Well, the referee having a bit of bottle.
Whether Pete could do it or not.
but it was, like, obviously, the explanations for those who didn't see it, I'm sure everybody has now, has come out that actually, by the letter of the law, that goal was offside. But you don't necessarily have a go at poor old Anthony Taylor, who is representing the UK in the UEFA Nations League final. God bless him for that.
Yeah.
But
not quite sure where you're going with that.
No, neither do I. I just wanted to reference.
Martin Tyler's very happy.
Very happy. Again, representing.
Yeah.
As he does. But
Martin, sorry, let me rephrase that. Martin Tyler's very happy, eventually.
but so when you think, what, that's the law, that makes it even worse to me, because if it's kind of on the night they get it wrong or whatever, now that is the law. When they were sat around the table, what were they thinking? I understand that different phases of play. So if the players tried to play the ball, I don't know, to say out the right wing and it cannons off the defender and it finds Mbappe in an offside position and he's allowed to play through, I'm a bit old-fashioned, I still think that should be offside. But I can understand the point of, well, now them's the breaks, lads. He wasn't trying to pass it to him. It was a complete accident. Whereas he's clearly affecting the play. That is not different phases of play.
Phase. Eric Garcia, the key point is Eric Garcia is only going to that ball because he knows Mbappe's behind him.
Yes.
If he doesn't go for the ball, as you've said, it's offside. It's absolutely baffling to, and more importantly, like, you've got to think about people's enjoyment of the game as well. Like, I mean, I've watched football for a long time, as we all have in here. I know a bit about it.
Yeah.
I do take an interest. And I was so confused for the first 10, 15 seconds.
Okay, so put
seconds.
It this way. If Mbappe had been challenging Garcia,
it's offside.
That would be
offside. Because Mbappe's then interfering with play at the time. And you could argue that that's massively open to interpretation anyway. And it comes up in another way with, seems to happen quite a lot more now, where forward players are in the eye line of a goalkeeper, and then the referee or the officials, whether it's the VAR official or whoever, have to make a decision about the interpretation of whether that's influencing the goalkeeper's ability to save the ball, right? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. So
the answer is, in my opinion, well, it always is.
Yeah.
Because the player's in the penalty area. Why do you think he's in the penalty area? Mm. He's not in there for a fucking picnic or a little fucking sightseeing tour. He's in there because he's hoping he can score. And it's the same here with Mbappe. Mm. Garcia's actions are entirely influenced by the fact that, as you've said, Marcus, one of the world's best players is behind him. Mm. And he knows, right, if I can get to this ball and intercept it, I need to.
And he was very, very close to
it. He was very close. So close that he touched it, which meant his team lost.
I mean, we have to say a nice finish from Mbappe under pressure, a little step over and slotted home.
That's great.
And that was the winning goal. Karim Benzema's 27th title, apparently, which makes him the most decorated French player in football history. Luke, more to add to that. Also, Antoine Griezmann's 100th cap. So well done to Antoine. Would that have been in the same stadium as the Champions League final when he missed the penalty? Was that the San Siro?
God, now you're asking.
There you go.
Difficult
if it was,
to say.
Then there you are. Of course, in the other game, Italy beat Belgium 2-1. Not that Thibaut Courtois was particularly bothered, was he? With those wonderful... I mean, he was actually very bothered because after the game he was saying about UEFA, and there was a lot of chat from him, and you might want to check that out, everybody. But he said, they don't care about the players, they only care about their pockets. He started saying, they just want more games, more games, more games. They criticised the Super League, and now they have other competitions, and da-da-da-da. He very unhappy man.
I agree with him.
Interesting points he made, but Italy got the bronze medal, another medal for Mancini's men. Not the colour they probably would have wanted, but there's a medal nonetheless.
There's absolutely no justification for a third-place playoff in this tournament. Mm. There's no need. It's a brand new tournament.
Yeah.
They could have consulted with the players a lot more closely and said, okay, we understand there's a lot more happening. Mm-hmm. What can we do? They didn't. And as I said a million times on this show, it's all about the battle for power between UEFA and FIFA. Mm. And that's why FIFA want to do World Cups every 2 years. So it's bullshit. At some point, it's got to give. Otherwise, you're going to get into a stage where you're going to have 55-man squads like they have in the NFL because the impact and because the intensity on players' physiques is going to be so high. And it's just mental.
Absolutely. Let's go then to the Euros qualifiers. Sorry, I'll word that again because it might confuse people. The European qualifying campaign for the World Cup.
For the World Cup, nice.
Yes, let's be clear. UEFA and FIFA coming together, which is something that we like to see.
Not really.
Only in your tortured words you've just used.
True. England beat Andorra 5-0, putting those little slugs to the sword. Come on.
It's a huge game.
Big game now.
Just get to go early.
Game, yeah.
Settle the nerves.
Nice to see Chile and Grealish getting their first goals for England, Peter.
It was nice to see that big fire the day before. I enjoyed that.
That was nice to see that.
Generally think fires are a good thing, do you?
Well, I mean, they're cleansing, aren't they, in a way? Cleansing. I just really like the fact that, did you see this Sky Sports report where the bloke goes, if you just pan that camera around and there's this big fucking fire happening. I was like, wow. And then this guy tries to protect some camera equipment and this whole bit of the gantry just falls over in front of him. He's like, wow.
I was fearing that it was some kind of ritual and that England were going to lose as a result of it.
Some juju.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be. And England got the win. Gareth Southgate, was this a very polite dig at Andorra's tactics when he said from the very start the goalkeeper was down and it was very interesting how their medics ran on?
Right.
That's about as hard as he gets, really, isn't it?
Think?
That's him, like, giving
both
barrels.
He had a pop at James Milner the other day, didn't he?
Did he?
As well. He said, I think he was joking, but he said something like when people were praising Phil Foden's performances, particularly one against Liverpool for Manchester City, he said, oh yeah, but he was only up against Millie. I think it's a bit of a. I know you're obviously pretty good friends, but it seemed like a little bit unnecessary.
Well, Phil Foden had a fabulously exciting display.
I don't agree with that.
No,
I don't think any performance from someone of Phil Foden's level against Andorra is fabulously exciting. I have problems with the language.
Yeah, I agree.
Efficiently
with you.
Professional, expected,
got the job done.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. When there was a lot of talk about, he made 72 out of 76 passes correct. I mean, my goodness. It's kind of like, but he is given the freedom of the pitch.
Yeah.
And on that surface as well, it's very easy to knock.
I think that if you gave Phil Foden and a bunch of the England team a job to do with just 9 men against, I don't know, a team of elderly librarians, they'd still look very good. To me, with the greatest respect to Andorra, it's a nonsense, really, that these games even happen.
The greatest of respect, you called them elderly librarians. If the Football Ramble ever played Andorra, that was what they would put up in their dressing room.
You don't know how much he loves the elderly librarians.
That's true.
Some of them probably very good.
And very, very quick.
Experienced.
Yeah. Read up on the opposition, presumably.
I very much enjoyed Saka's goal, but then you watch it again, you're like, oh, the keeper's a bit rubbish there. But I do like the way he took it. It was a lovely finish.
I know what you mean.
It is respectful to Andrew, because I'm not expecting them to be any better, and nor should anyone else be.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about one of the big takeaways from this game was like a 41-year-old sub who came on and had to go off again because he pulled a hamstring because the guy he was trying to keep up with was born after he made his international debut. I mean, it's like, it's not that edifying, is it?
Yeah, poor old Sad. Not poor old Lima was roasted by Sancho. Didn't he tweet sort of, next time, please slow down?
Yeah, next time, look to slow down. Yeah,
look to slow down.
But there was a nice moment for Sam Johnston in goal.
Great assist.
Yeah.
Laser focused, laser sighted.
Exactly, yeah. Southgate has called on Grealish to maybe score a few more goals, which... You think of his exciting performances and you think of the positions he finds himself. You think, absolutely. So he's got one, Peter, against Andorra.
He cemented his place in the side, hasn't he?
Well, you can't
argue with that.
You could say that.
86-minute fifth goal against a knackered Andorra.
Oh. How many times have we watched England score that many goals recently? It just seems like every match they've got the capacity to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You see, that's how good they are. Elsewhere in England's group, of course, Lukas Fabianski played his last game for Poland.
Mm.
How about that? He came off in the 56th minute against San Marino, was given a guard of honour by both teams.
Szczesny laughing. It really made me laugh.
Sod off.
He's only 36, Fabianski. Yeah. That old for a keeper.
Yeah. Well, he's had enough, obviously. Not interested in Qatar. Too hot.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a pain to get in the other line after Brexit, isn't it? The airport. Just annoying.
Is that what he's thinking, Jerry?
Yeah, he's just like, I can't be
too old for this. Too old for
bloody bollocks.
Yeah. When you get to my age, travel takes its toll.
Tell you what, Albania got a big win in Hungary, though, didn't they?
They did.
Putting the pressure on, trying to, you know, keep up the pressure on England.
That's not happening. Well, I also like the way you said Hungary.
Hungary?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are playing Hungary, mate.
So
it's all heating up for those second place spots.
Yeah, it's all to play for, apart from the fact that England will easily win the group. Joking aside, second place is a factor in this.
It's
a notable result.
A notable result. Well, more on second place finishes, ladies and gentlemen, after this quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it better. Join Alexane Christilli and Vicky Crompton as they celebrate Halloween with a month of Stephen King films. Kicking off this month of King vs. King, it's The Shining vs. Doctor Sleep.
We also get this amazing shot of Wendy and Danny lost in the maze and the camera stalking them and Jack looking down at this model of the maze. The lengths that Kubrick went to make it feel like, is Jack controlling this maze? Is this maze Jack's mind?
Search Clash of the Titles on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Otra vez, dale, 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 bien, bien, yo, 1-0. Dale, Victor. Go on, Victor. Come on, Gonzalo. Bien, bien, Pizarro. Good, good. I like this kind of work.
Yeah, looks good.
I like it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. More on him later. Right, let's see how we got on Betway's 4 to score. Entry to Betway's 4 to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Scotland versus Israel. Vish picked Manos Solomon. Of course, the result was Aaron Zarvi, who scored a lovely free kick.
I mean,
Zaha scored the free kicks.
It was a beauty.
Yeah, it was lovely.
We'll come on to it, I'm sure.
Indeed, yeah. Game 2, Finland versus Ukraine. Andy picked Roman Yaremchuk. It was, of course, Andrei Yarmolenko.
One or the other. It's always one or the other.
I know, In Hungary versus Albania, Jim picked Roland Salai. It was, of course, Armando Broja for Albania, who got the only goal of the game. And in Switzerland versus Northern Ireland, I picked Breel Mbolo. It was Steven Zuber. So we'll be back for another round of 4 to score on the previous show this Friday.
Is there any consolation, Marcus, to know that if I was in your shoes, I also probably would have picked Breel Mbolo?
It's an enormous consolation.
You're welcome.
He did get the assist.
Happy to comfort.
But ultimately, we got 0 out of 4. Right, everybody, it's time for emails.
If you've got something for us, shoutfootballramble.com.
Ooh! It's time for an email. And it comes from Sam. Hello, Sam. After hearing the anecdote about the pin-stabbing driving instructor, I was reminded of my own and odd, potentially painful experience. Cruising at 20 miles per hour, one lesson in a quiet residential street, my instructor slammed on the dual brakes, causing me to lurch forward. He then explained to me that in his view, all cars should have a large metal spike sticking out of the steering wheel to make sure drivers are concentrating.
I mean, have we tapped into something quite remarkable here? That all driving instructors
weird
are insane.
Driving instructors, yeah.
Yeah. They can be intense. My good friend Jimmy, he never learned to drive because his driving instructor was a guy, I'm just trying to work out if he might have passed away by now, probably has, so I probably can name him.
Yeah.
Dickie Ford, his name was.
Amazing.
Who used to be so intense that my mate used to hide.
Hide? What do
you
mean?
In the house with the curtains closed, pretend he wasn't
Didn't
in.
Didn't want to do it?
Yeah, because he's just so worried about doing it.
Anybody called Dickie's lovely. And the fact that Ford, you know, is obviously...
That's a great name.
Yeah.
I'd like to think it's a pseudonym, like a showbiz name.
Yeah. Dickie Mercedes was really too far.
I was going to say, he ended up learning with Johnny Jaguar. So.
Mine was a big into the 1990s digital/satellite box illegal card hacking scheme.
Was it? How did that come up?
And he's also got strong opinions about women dress.
How did you get onto these subjects of conversation where you're learning to drive? Surely you need to be focused.
Well, not really. That's why it took me so long to
learn. When you say he's got strong opinions of that, it's never, they should be able to wear what they want, is it?
No, yeah. It's always one direction, isn't
it?
He's not
passionately defending them. They never are.
What a great shame.
They didn't dress like that in the 1980s in Pakistan. Well, probably not. Shamsul, probably not.
Yeah.
My driving instructor, he was sort of post-career, because he used to be in protection of the royal family, work for the police and all that. Lovely fella. We should have a lovely time talking about football and stuff. It was great.
Because Pete just mentioned the country
and
you said post-career, I was trying to think which one of the careers it was. I was like, what?
No, he wasn't involved
post-career.
In that.
Post-career?
No.
Oh, good. So he did this little semi-retirement gig.
Exactly.
Did you pass first time?
Second time.
That's not so bad.
I enjoyed his company.
Great. if people have got... You still seeing him? Just give a little drive. If people have got any other driving instructor stories, because if we have tapped into a rich seam here, we should try and exploit it.
I think so.
It's shoutoutfootballramble.com. David's been in touch saying, hi guys, Andy mentioned playing on a rubbish plastic pitch near Caledonian Road in North London last week. It must be the one at Market Row, which I'm pretty sure was the first in the country, because I played on it when it first opened in the 70s.
Bloody hell.
And it would be Market Row, because we've all played there fairly regularly. As an adult in the 80s, I played on it regularly, and it was showing signs of age back then. None more so than when a lightning-fast opposition winger knocked a ball past our high line and sprinted away.
Was it Pete Donaldson?
He was at least 20 yards away from any other player when he suddenly went flying. The ref stopped the game in a somewhat confused state, only to find that the player had tripped over a bit of the pitch that was sticking up. Ooh. The ensuing drop ball was pretty much ignored, as 21 players were all pissing themselves with laughter. We went on to lose the match, as we pretty much did every week. One thing I would say in defence of Market Road, as far as I'm aware, They have reasonably recently changed the surface.
They have.
Oh, it got did up
four
years ago, and it's and they've got big cages and stuff, so it's all very secure and very
pleasant. Because the big, I was going to say,
changing rooms, everything.
Right, okay, because the biggest concern when I played that, I was going to say, was that making sure everyone's gear got into the back of the, one of the goals, so the goalkeeper could be goalkeeper, but also part-time security guard.
Yeah, correct.
Because shit would go missing all the time. I basically used to leave the house thinking, I cannot take any of my stuff with me, other than basic football kit, because it's going to get stolen.
Yeah. Great times.
Which is annoying because you could actually see a prison from the pitch.
Yeah.
Pentonville Road prison, you can see from the pitch, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
it should be a deterrent, but it isn't.
Yeah. Like Wormwood Scrubs, playing fields at Wormwood Scrubs, the famous prison, of course, in West London.
I've played there as well, yeah.
Yeah, I remember looking at this building, guys, it's a lovely bit of brickwork, it's beautiful architecture. Oh, yeah. It's the prison.
Do you think that...
Isn't it tall?
Yeah. I'd like to see what it looks like from the inside.
Is it the mark of a civilised society that there's a prison called Wormwood Scrubs?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. There we are. Show at footballramble.com for that kind of nonsense. Of course, if you need a problem solving, remember, you can throw that our way too, and we'll answer them on Wednesday during Pep Talks.
I'm so happy. I am so happy.
Sit down! and sit down, everybody, for this, because we're going back to World Cup qualifying action. Scotland 3, Israel 2. What a win for the Tartan Army. I mean, I enjoy seeing Steve Clarke happy. Yeah. We saw it during the Euros. For a brief moment, we still saw it. We saw it when they qualified. The smile is still there. When they scored that winning goal, he was off. And I love the quote. He said, because he was away. It was like Mourinho at Old Trafford for Porto.
Yeah.
He was off. And he said, I managed to run so far. And then I thought, where the fuck are you going? Then I just wandered back to the technical area.
It's great. Yeah. And Ali McCoy's lost his mind as well.
Well, McCoy was in pieces.
At one point, Ali McCoy was just going... Get amongst him, big man. That's what that about Lyndon Dykes. So I do Lyndon Dykes where he basically just said, get right in there, big man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
they missed so many chances, Lyndon. Right at the death as well. And then they sort of whooshed it in, didn't they?
Dykes
it was a whooshed goal.
It was an incredible evening. He missed the penalty, scored the goal, missed chances. It was just the red card was missing, really, for the whole sort of thing. Oh, my goodness. But it was the man from Lancashire, Scott McTominay, who got the winning goal, of course. His first goal for Scotland.
And what a goal it was, by which I mean that any human being in that place could have scored it at that point.
But do you know what? He actually did well. He did well...
To not handle it.
Because when that ball's bundled in, if you're an Israeli fan, you would think, hang on, we've got a chance on two counts there. Was he offside? Was it a handball? And you're thinking, surely VAR is going to save us. But no, he was very, very controlled, if you see what
controlled.
I mean. It was a controlled bundle.
I think he might deserve more credit as well, because the way it bubbled up off him.
Yes.
It went right into the roof of the net, and because the keeper
could've
was there.
Over,
and it could have gone over, or the keeper could have saved it. It was right in that spot.
Lovely bit of improvisation.
It was an amazing game. And what I would say is that, so obviously Scotland went into the half-time break 2-1 down.
Yeah.
John McGinn scored a brilliant goal.
It was Luka Modric.
It was, and that really got them going, because they were really poor for most of the first half, really, but particularly before that goal. And what Steve Clarke must have said to them at half-time is incredible, because...
You better go out there, get their fucking results.
Yeah, because it was incredible in the second half. It was such an exciting game.
It was.
And the scenes at Hampden Park were incredible as well. It looked like such a good atmosphere.
But this is what happens, though, when you get a bit of spirit going in the team, which they clearly do, because Clarke wasn't a... If my memory serves me well, when he was appointed, I think people were a bit like, well... Okay, and it was a bit dull to begin with, and so on. He got them going. He gets them into that playoff. They go through to the Euros. There's a great feeling in the squad. You've got to carry that on, which clearly they have. They've got some decent results, because they didn't start this qualification campaign particularly well. It wasn't dreadful, but it was, again, slightly underwhelming. Did they win in Austria? I think, you know, a decent result.
And they won 1-0 in Austria.
And and then they come here, and they're 2-1 down. And again, it could be, oh, here we go, same old Scotland. Oh, here we go. We've got a chance, and now we're gonna mess it up. To turn it around like that, and the stadium and everyone is going, it just shows you that because at halftime he would have probably said, right, did you enjoy the Euros? Right. And that happened. Let's give it again.
Yeah.
Let's go out and get it again. And they're in pole position now to finish second. And of course, if you do finish second, there's only three teams from all the teams that finish second that go through. Bit of a rigmarole, you know, with the Euros, probably it would be, you know, semi-final and final to kind of go through and all that kind of jazz. I haven't quite got my head around it just yet.
But the key thing is...
But it is only three teams out of 10 that go through.
But it's in their hands.
It is in their hands.
And they have a tricky-looking game at home to Denmark, who have been amazing, haven't even conceded a goal yet in qualification. But the crucial point is they may not need that, because they go away to Faroe Islands and away to Moldova. And before that, Now,
if they win both of those, they're
it's basically done. Right. And they
they'll have clinched second.
Yeah, there we go. Mm. So I haven't quite worked out the maths, but so it will definitely be done with it. Mm. It certainly looks like
because they're
that.
4 points above.
Exactly, but they cannot follow up this kind of result tomorrow night in the Faroes and stutter to like a 0-0 or something like that, because Faroes have beaten Moldova. They've picked up a draw elsewhere as well.
Yeah, a little bit better than what we think, but still. But this is the thing for Scotland, is when they're favourites to win it, that Scotland fans often say, oh, that's where we come unstuck, because you then got to go and win it. Now, against Israel, it's kind of, I would say Scotland were shaded it for favourites for me, especially with the home support, but you know, you kind of think of that as a kind of a 50-50, that's how it will be built.
Yeah.
They're now favourites against the Faroes, of course, and against Moldova. Keep your heads and go and finish the job.
All I'm saying is, in the Faroe Islands tomorrow night, it's going to be about 6 degrees and raining.
Perfect.
yeah, I feel right at home. Yeah. They will feel right at home. Yeah, I wish them all the best. I'd love to see them at a World Cup as well. It'd be great. They've done really, really well. They've taken advantage of the fact that Israel are poor at the back and make stupid mistakes, from what I've seen. And they've also been able to capitalise on the fact that Austria have been so below par.
Yeah,
been
Austria unbelievable. Have messed it up.
And that's what we've said before in these kind of situations. For the home nations that aren't England, effectively, you've got to have a really good, strong record at home. You've got to take advantage of other people slip up, and you've got to dig in sometimes to get a real landmark result away from home. And they did that with Austria.
Yep.
So they've got all the chance in the world now.
What about the Welsh, Peter?
What about the Welsh?
A good point away to Czech Republic. That is one of those games where you just think, do not lose.
Kick a ball in the back of the net.
Exactly.
You're on
how this game works by now. You're professionals. Don't lose the game, because they're sort of level pegging now with Czech Republic after that second spot. Danny Ward conceded an absolute howler. And when that went in, you just thought, oh no.
Oh dear.
Oh dear, oh dear. But they managed to drag it out. But it's interesting with Aaron Ramsey, obviously scored the first Wales goal. Over the last 7 months, he's played more minutes for Wales than he has for Juventus. Oh. Is this the reverse Ryan Giggs, Peter?
Well, I seem to recall you saying...
It's the Michael Owen.
Oh yeah.
Andy Brassel said he's had a great season for his club side. Andy went, no, he hasn't.
You often misquote me with things like this, Peter.
All right, well, set the record straight, sir.
Uh-huh. I said he's had a terrific time at club level.
My mate went to Prague to watch it, and he'd forgotten that when he booked the hotel, he'd asked the hotel staff to write "Good luck, Bale" in Welsh in rose petals on the bed. So he turned up and the staff had written,
done it.
Good luck, Bale.
That's brilliant.
Good on him.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Northern Ireland, though, didn't do too well against Switzerland, of course. The big talking point was the Jamal Lewis sending off for picking up a second yellow for taking too long over a throw-in in the 36th minute when it was 0-0. Now,
he'd barely broken a sweat. It was so early.
I thought, obviously, he'd got a silly booking. I thought this was a ridiculous yellow card. And then I watched it again, and on ITV they were talking about him. He held the ball for, 17 seconds?
Right.
And you sort of go,
that is long, isn't it?
That is a long time.
And for time wasting, you get a yellow, don't
you?
So there's the crime.
Yeah, and so I actually think that obviously you're going to be very frustrated. It's harsh, but he's given the referee a choice to make.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the only dissenting opinion against that would be the idea that, look, I don't know if this is helpful or not, but generally speaking, it is frustrating how reticent referees are to give a second yellow for time wasting. So I have seen on more than a few occasions a goalkeeper being on the yellow and then taking ages over a goal kick to the point where the referee will run over all the way down to the goal, to the keeper, and go, come on, and do that waving thing. Come on, come on. Mm. And it never seems to manifest itself. Mm-hmm. I didn't see this game in its entirety. I saw the highlights. I saw the incident. It does seem to me that the referee, Vincic, I think his name was, is very quick on it. You don't see him going over and saying, look, come on, let's play.
But it's a long time he's
held
the ball.
So I think it might be another one of those incidents, guys, where you're like, okay, by the letter of the law, the referee's done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the referee's assessor will be fine with it or whatever. I think sometimes the referee needs to understand that he's part of a bigger thing here.
Yeah.
And he's easily able to go over and say, if you do that again, right, you're going to go. So you're going to take, and what it was like the 36th minute, he's playing left back. But he's going to be taking a lot of throw-ins.
Put a little pin into his hand.
Put a spike on the ball.
But if that was in the 89th minute and it's still 0-0, I think people would understand it more. But should it matter which minute it is? Because people will say, yeah, but context is crucial. And other people say, well, no, the law is the law.
I think if it's in the 89th minute, he can go. I think there'd be far less dissent.
But you can time wait still at any point of the game.
Yeah, I just, I'm not criticising necessarily the decision. I'm saying that one of the referee's jobs is also to manage the game.
Well, okay, so Barraclough
said... he's got to stay in control of the game.
Yeah, Barraclough said that the referee hadn't even warned him.
That's what I learned.
And you're saying that, he, in the spirit of the game, he should say, go to his pocket and say, you know, hurry up sort of thing.
Yeah.
But one could also say... well, actually, he hasn't warned him. He's given him quite a long time, and he's thinking, okay, mate.
But here's a better example then, for comparison. Mm. Referee makes a poor decision, or a decision that one of the teams don't agree with, and six or seven players pile right into the referee, shouting and screaming in his face. Mm-hmm. The letter of the law says every single one of those players are booked. Mm-hmm. They never booked. The reason they're never booked is because the referee's trying to manage the game.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be in a position where he's sending off five players a game.
Yeah.
Certain things exist for that reason. I'm saying this might be a version of that, or it might not. I wasn't there, so I don't know. I'm just saying I can see it from both sides.
Okay. All right then. Republic of Ireland beat Azerbaijan 3-0 away. Nice to see them scoring and winning. Stephen Kenny getting his first competitive win as Ireland manager, of course, at the 13th time of asking.
It's a little too long.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
A little bit too long.
Commentator saying, well, because Callum Robinson scored two goals, obviously. Nice one in there as well. Callum Robinson has offered his own double jab to Azerbaijan tonight. Very
good.
On.
Yeah. I like it.
There's nothing commentators won't make hay out of, is there? There's nothing they won't.
How about that, eh? Of course, Serbia beat Luxembourg 1-0 on Saturday, which made qualification mathematically impossible for Ireland. I mean, it's been a hard time. They're pleased to get their
tough
first
draw.
Win, of course. But I mean, losing against Luxembourg, I know Luxembourg a bit better.
Drawing against Azerbaijan the first time.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Ideal, is it?
But I think pretty early on, sadly, for Ireland, they were like, oh, let's just write this one off. But hopefully try and build something. The frustration will come if you give Kenny a bit of time and you try and build something and it doesn't get built and you kind of go, what do we do? Mm. But time will tell, because he may well be given a bit of time and who knows.
I just love the idea of them going, right, I've had a tough group here. And then we've had some difficult results. What, against Serbia? No. Well, Portugal? Nah. Who against? You're not helping yourself, is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
You're going to have to be right at it. The very minimum, you're going to have to win home and away against Luxembourg and Azerbaijan, because that gives you 12 points.
Indeed.
It's not going to be enough, because Portugal have already got 13,
yeah.
But you're not helping yourself.
No. And some people are saying give him time. Others are saying he's already had enough time to prove what he's about. And
some people are saying time is a mirage.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think managers are fired anywhere near quickly enough. So...
Yeah,
you know.
But it is important to give people time to prove what they're about.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, this is going, Pete.
Let's have a bit of an update on the Newcastle takeover.
The Times have reported that Steve Bruce and Amanda Staveley are going to meet for the first time and the last time, you'd imagine.
Honestly, it's just, he's expected to be sacked, of course. A paragraph of one newspaper read, Steve Bruce will be sacked this week after Newcastle's owners realised the negative impact his presence could have in their opening game against Tottenham. They don't even want to meet him.
No.
I like the idea that Steve Bruce looks in the work calendar. Meet with Amanda Staveley. Oh, yeah, great. 15 minutes. Yeah. How long is it? It's either going to be brilliant, it's either going to be a carry on exactly as you are.
I loved it.
Or a bring your box, clean your desk.
They've realised his negative. It's the manager.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have watched the games, wouldn't they?
I know.
You got a big Brucey apologist sitting opposite you, Pete.
I know, right? When you do say that about a man like Steve Bruce.
Anyway.
Where would he pop up next? You'd like him at Fulham, presumably.
Not with Marco Silva in charge, currently.
He's never talked about how great he is. He said he was a really good manager.
If Fulham were looking for a new manager, yeah, get Brucey down.
Right.
Get Brucey down. But
okay.
Marco Silva's there. So you'll have a chance in a couple of weeks to take the job.
We all know Marco Silva never gets his head turned, so there's no way he's going to get it. But say you woke up tomorrow.
Job swap.
You woke up tomorrow. No, joke aside, because you've given Pete some pelters and survive, but I'll try to distract from that. Fulham have got a vacancy.
Yeah, I love it.
Bruce is available.
Get him in.
Knows the league.
He'll never lie outside of the studio. Bring him in here. He's a fucking liar.
No, I think he would do an all right job at Fulham.
Jesus.
There we are. All 19 Premier League clubs apparently are angry about the deal. and they're pushing for an emergency meeting this week. I admire that, chaps, but I think that ship has sailed.
Going back to the old manager situation, the thing that's annoying from Steve Bruce's point of view is that, like, okay, I'm going to be sacked, right? Fine. You're going to sack me because the new owners are doing their own thing. And even if you take aside Bruce's record, it could happen to a far better manager than Steve Bruce, right? The new owners have got their own ideas. Fine. Yeah. I mean, if I was Steve Bruce, I'd be saying, so, yeah, you got someone lined up, have you? Because they're going to say, no. I'll just put your assistant in charge.
Got Graham Jones.
So my input into this job, which I've given my life and soul to, rightly or wrongly, I've worn it on my sleeve, is net negative. I'm taking away from this job more than I'm putting in.
Like last week, nobody in the dugout. It's fine.
Would that be better?
Yeah.
Get Siri in there. Siri, we need to make a sub. Next? On the bench, you have.
Siri, give me an example of a tactic.
Tell me a joke.
Yeah.
Steve Bruce.
Read me a chapter of Inverting the Pyramid quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Steve,
Siri, is there any bacon?
Naughty. Yeah, apparently Newcastle are interested in Graham Potter, Lucien Favre. You name it, they're into it, unless it's Steve Bruce, of course. Apparently, Antonio Conte is out of the running, despite being interested, Peter.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be very much top of the tree.
Yeah. Who would you like to see, Pete?
Oh, I don't know, man. It's just been a funny old week, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You said to us the other day, Pete, he said, I can't even enjoy Mike Ashley going.
I mean, that's how bad it is for yourself, isn't it? That Ashley's gone and you're like... Yeah,
it's the best of one world.
Yes,
and the other world very much not.
But what is your take generally? Because obviously you've not been here the last.
I think Andy said it all on Thursday. Yeah, to be quite frank, I don't think he lives up there. I'd be very careful to criticise the lads with their cans in dance around in front of the stadium.
Most because they're mates, aren't they?
I can wrinkle my nose as a person who hasn't walked past St James's Park crumbling for 14 years.
Yeah.
So I think you're allowed to celebrate the end of 14 years of just terrible leadership. Up until the point you put a tea towel on your head, I think that's or wearing an MBS mask or something. I think you're allowed to celebrate to a point, and I'd be very careful to criticise the people in Newcastle celebrating the end of that. But it's not ideal, is it?
What if it was a Newcastle United 90s tea towel?
I don't know, actually.
With like Shearer and Ferdinand,
there was a lovely video of Les Ferdinand, presumably for winning Man of the Match or something. He had a big tray in the 90s of Newcastle brand in tins, and Sky Sports put like gifts saying hashtag cans, and like Les Ferdinand was like had 24 cans in Newcastle Brown. It was a different time.
I don't think Les Ferdinand's drinking them.
No, I don't think he is either.
I would say, just to follow up very quickly, I think you're absolutely right, and I completely echo what the guy said last week too. I thought that was outstanding, if I may say so, because I wasn't involved, so it's not me bigging up myself. I do think absolutely what Pete's tapped into there is something that I would just put in slightly different terms, which is that it shouldn't be up to the fans to dictate or to be the arbiters of whether the people who are owning their club are suitable or not. It should be up to the governing bodies of the game who haven't done that.
Mm.
So you can't blame the fans for that. And I think exactly what Pete said, spot on.
Yeah, there we are. Once again, Pete gets it right.
There's another manager who might be looking for a job soon, Marcus, right?
Is that right? Go on then. No, hang on. You're moving on too quickly here.
Sorry, I'm just excited.
Moving on too quickly.
I'm just excited.
The Mirror apparently reporting that Mike Ashley is interested in buying Derby County.
Oh, that's sorry, okay. Oh, yeah, Mike Ashley's been to the pub. We've got to do that first.
Exactly what they need.
He is energised by the prospect of turning things around at the club. Also, Pride Park is just 30 miles from Sports Direct's headquarters in Derbyshire.
Yeah.
But
he travels everywhere by helicopter anyway, doesn't he?
He does, but here lies the problem. Derby are in an absolute state.
Mm.
They have a billionaire who's offering to fix, to fix a quick fix, right? They are.
Mm.
But they've seen what's happened at Newcastle. Do you take it? This is the problem. This is football is.
The earnest answer is that football should have a responsibility to the sport to ensure that all these proud institutions and community-based clubs, of which we've got 92 in a way that no other country that I know of has got such a well-supported pyramid, should be encouraged and helped to live sustainably through a sustainable model.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have to be that club's on its arse over there. Where can we find a billionaire from?
It
should be, why are these clubs continuing to do this? Because it's not regulated properly, because they're not behaving appropriately, and this is not sustainable, because sooner or later, people are going to run out of money again, yeah. and there's not going to be someone to save them.
Absolutely.
That's the answer.
Yes.
I mean, do you want me to just say that I think Mike Ashley's a prick?
No.
I also think that.
Well, here's your chance now, because apparently he was celebrating the news of Newcastle's sale with a five-hour drinking session at the King's Arm in Soho in central London, not far from where you
Very
used to live,
public.
Peter.
I was drinking that night as well.
Were you?
Cans.
With the big man?
No, with the big man, but around the corner.
All right.
Interesting.
He was seen tipping the barmaid £5.
There's nothing in this story. A five-hour drinking session is just that he was in the pub after work till closing.
Yes,
which people do all over the country all the time. And secondly,
five-hour drinking. If someone I probably did like seven at the weekend. That's bad, isn't it?
I am a binge drinker. I am drinking to get drunk.
He did also say that.
Yeah. But in a court of law,
him tipping a barmaid £5. Well, I'm not defending, because Pete, I mean, you hate people who are parsimonious.
That's one drink, though, isn't it?
London. But people don't tip bar staff in the UK. So if he's just saying it's come to £15, he's a 20, keep the fiver.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, I know, we're just trying to say he's a human being as well.
What's happened is someone at the Sun or the Mail, I presume it's one of those two, has said to someone else, I've heard he's in Soho, go and get him, find out what he's doing. Oh, he's just having a few beers with his mates. It's not the worst thing he's done, is it?
The thing that I kind of respect the fact that that pub is right next to a Brewdog, but he didn't go to the
Brewdog.
He went to the one next to it. Yeah.
The definition of a gentleman is a man who can drink in Brewdog, but doesn't.
Yeah.
With bootcut jeans. Right then, everybody, let's finish with some Fizzer chat after five straight defeats for Inter Miami.
Every Monday.
Justice for Fizzer!
Well, Pete, it's taken a turn.
Right.
Because he was winning all those cup finals and suddenly five straight defeats, and you think, what's happened, Fizzer? Yeah.
What's happened, Fizzer? You said there was just 20 cup finals.
Maybe these were just like the equivalent of third place playoffs in the Nations League or something. But Fizzer is... There's something wrong.
Mm.
Something rotten in the state of Miami, because how have they lost five on the spin? And Fizzer's right, because he's called for an MLS investigation into the decisions going against them. Because Gonzalo Higuain was flagged offside when he was clean through on goal in a 1-0 defeat against New York Red Bulls. His decision's going against them. And Fizzer's not happy, because it's obviously not down to his players. They've got some decent players there. It can't be down to the manager and his tactics. He's proved himself at this level. I think, Peter, you'd agree. But he went for it in the post-match interview after this one. And we knew he was going to go for it, because he said at the start, okay, I'm just going to go full barrel. Now, if a man says that at the start of the interview, does that mean that you take it more seriously or think...
It's such an impotent man.
Oh,
that,
my
man.
Goodness.
He's just so kind of...
I mean, I would say that from what I've seen...
Yeah.
That Higuain decision, he looked onside.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So I'm going deep state conspiracy.
The team Fizzer. Yeah. He went on to say, we got cheated in Portland and we've been cheated again. Something is fundamentally wrong with the way referees treat Inter Miami.
Yeah.
We got stones thrown at us and had to take a lot of shit. And when you do wrong, you accept it. But I hope I don't come across as a bad loser. Oh, and congratulations to New York Red Bulls.
Yeah. The irony being that he's intimating there that because of the high-profile nature of Inter Miami and the players they've got and the ownership they've got, i.e. David Beckham, that they're somehow being targeted. Well, you want to be very careful about that.
Yep.
Because if it wasn't fucking David Beckham, you'd be nowhere near this job out. So, you know, take it or leave it. Take the hand you've been dealt and play it.
Mm.
Because you're nowhere near Inter Miami as a manager without that.
Do you think he's trying to channel the spirit of Ferguson here? Have a go at the refs. Highlight what they're doing. You get a few decisions your way. But yeah, when he
starts...
Do you
think it would be really sinister, because he would go, I'm really disappointed with the referee.
Yeah, I'm just going to go full barrel.
Full barrel?
It's like a potato gun.
Yeah.
Because he's so quiet.
Did he not go full barrel on the beach in Valencia?
That's a different barrel. Different barrel.
Different barrel.
Yeah. That was a pump action shot, single barrel shotgun. Different barrel.
It's different, like different gravy. It's a different barrel.
Yeah, reach for a different barrel, Fizzer.
I'm just going to go full barrel, not again.
Well, we wish him all the best.
Good old Fizzer.
Need to turn it around, pal, because we know he's got it in his locker to do so.
To be fair to Inter Miami, they have climbed off the bottom. They're like fourth bottom.
They
now.
Did well, but five straight defeats is bad.
Yeah, I know that, Marcus.
But like I say, I agree with him. Something must be up, because they were picking up the speed of a runaway freight train.
They were.
And they were on their way to the playoffs, and we want to see them in there.
I wouldn't want to get on a train that Phil Neville's driving. I just don't think he'd be across all the buttons and all the
I've
lights.
Made it turn left. We're going off-road.
Do you have to stay on this track?
Can we not go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just go full barrel.
Speed 3 with Phil Neville. Is there been a speed 3 already?
Must be. Oh dear, there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Jim and Vish will be in your ears, giving it full barrel, no doubt. All right. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Wow. Sorry.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Pushed apart my arm that really hurts.
Oh, dear.
And bye.
It's goodbye from me.
I genuinely thought it was a Phil Neville impression.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.